A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been watching the lucid dreaming community on Reddit, this whole subculture of people who spend serious effort trying to wake up inside their own dreams. He's asking you who these people actually are, what drives them, and the big question, is lucid dreaming something anyone can actually learn? Or is it one of those things where some people get it and the rest are just stuck journaling their regular dreams forever? There's a lot to unpack here.
I've actually gone down this rabbit hole. The subreddit r/lucid dreaming has something like 620,000 subscribers now. It's not some tiny niche forum anymore. The subreddit Daniel's talking about is r/lucid dreaming, and it's not small. Last I checked, it was north of 500,000 members, something like 540,000, and it's been growing steadily.
620,000. That's a small city of people all trying to realize they're asleep. What's the demographic here? I like that. Sounds more dignified than people who stare at their hands and ask if they're asleep.
Which is, by the way, actually one of the techniques. But the culture there is genuinely interesting. You've got several layers. At the top, you have the veterans, people who've been doing this for 10-15 years and can hold lucid dreams for what feels like 20-30 minutes of dream time. They write these incredibly detailed guides. Then you have the hobbyists who get lucid maybe once or twice a month and are constantly tweaking their approach.
If you spend your day optimizing code, the idea of optimizing your own brain probably feels natural. It's the same impulse applied inward. By the way, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today. That last group is probably 80% of the posts.
It fluctuates, but yeah, it's a lot. And the thing is, the frustration is real because lucid dreaming sits at this weird intersection of science and subjective experience. You can't exactly open an app and see if someone else is lucid dreaming. It's self-reported, which makes the research messier than people admit.
Who are these people demographically? Is this college students pulling all-nighters, or is it broader?
It's surprisingly broad. You get the expected college-age crowd, 18 to 25, lots of STEM students who approach it almost like a biohacking project. But there's also a significant contingent of people in their 30s and 40s who discovered this through meditation or mindfulness practices. There's a whole overlap with the dream yoga tradition from Tibetan Buddhism, which has been doing this for centuries.
The question isn't whether it's real. It's whether it's broadly trainable, or if LaBerge just found the one guy who could do it and built a career around him. You've got Reddits as independently rediscovering ancient meditation techniques and giving them names like Filed E and WBTB.
FILD is finger-induced lucid dreaming. You lightly move your fingers as you're falling asleep to keep a thread of consciousness active. WBTB is wake back to bed. You set an alarm for about 5 or 6 hours after you fall asleep, wake up, stay awake for 20 to 30 minutes, then go back to sleep. That window is when REM periods are longest and the brain is primed for lucidity.
The wake back to bed. One sounds miserable to me, but I'm a sloth. Waking up deliberately in the middle of the night is basically my definition of a nightmare.
Yet it's the single most effective technique in the literature. Studies consistently show WBTB combined with reality checks gives the highest induction rates. We're talking success rates jumping from single digits to somewhere in the 30 to 50% range over a multi-week training period.
Let's talk about those numbers, because this gets to the core of Daniel's question. Can anyone learn this? What does the actual research say about success rates? Does that number climb, or does it plateau?
That's the thing. The studies don't really track long-term training at scale. Most of the evidence for anyone can learn this comes from community self-report, which is obviously messy. The subreddit is full of people who tried for months and got nowhere, right alongside people who had their first lucid dream after 3 days of reality checks. You can find both stories on the same page, sometimes in the same thread.
What's the difference? What separates the people who get it from the people who don't? because if it were purely about following instructions, you'd expect a much tighter distribution of results.
This is where I think the community narrative gets a little ahead of the evidence. The dominant view on r/lucid dreaming is that it's purely about technique and consistency. If you're not getting results, you're doing it wrong or not trying hard enough. But there's actual neurobiology that complicates that story.
Of course there is. Tell me about the brains.
There's a structure called the anterior prefrontal cortex. It's involved in metacognition, which is thinking about your own thinking. Studies using MRI have found that people who have frequent lucid dreams tend to have more gray matter volume in this region. And EEG studies show higher gamma band activity in frontal areas during REM sleep in frequent lucid dreamers.
Some people might literally have more hardware for this. More processing power in the exact region that does the... Wait, is this real?
That's the implication. Now, the chicken and egg problem is real. Does lucid dreaming build that brain structure, or does having that brain structure make lucid dreaming easier? Probably both, honestly. Neuroplasticity means training likely changes the brain over time, but there's almost certainly a genetic or developmental head start for some people. Think of it like working memory. You can improve your working memory with training, but you're never going to take someone from the 5th percentile to the 95th percentile. The range of improvement has biological boundaries.
Which means the Reddit advice of just keep doing reality checks, you'll get there eventually, might be setting a lot of people up for frustration. If you're starting with less gray matter in the relevant region, you might be trying to run software your hardware doesn't support well.
But let me push back on myself here, because the techniques have gotten a lot more sophisticated than just reality checks. The community has iterated on this stuff for years, and some of the methods are genuinely clever. They've found workarounds that might help people who don't have the natural aptitude.
Walk me through the main ones. If I wanted to try this, what would I actually do? What's the menu look like?
There are three major techniques that dominate the discussion. MILD, mnemonic induction of lucid dreams, is Lieberger's original method. You wake up after about 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and while you're falling back asleep, you repeat a phrase like, "Next time I'm dreaming, I'll recognize I'm dreaming." But you don't just say it robotically. You visualize yourself in a dream becoming lucid. You rehearse the moment of recognition. It's essentially prospective memory training, teaching your brain to remember a future intention.
It's like setting a mental alarm clock, but the alarm is the realization itself. Instead of a sound waking you up, the thought wakes you up inside the dream.
And Lieberger's data show this was the most effective single technique in his studies. Then there's WILD, wake, initiated lucid dreaming. This is the hardcore one. You maintain consciousness while your body falls asleep. You stay aware through the transition from waking to REM.
That sounds terrifying, actually. Sleep paralysis territory? Because I've heard stories about that, and none of them sound like a good time.
It can be. You're essentially inducing the paralysis that normally happens during REM while your mind is still online. People report all kinds of wild hypnagogic imagery, geometric patterns, voices, full scenes, and then suddenly you're in a dream, lucid from the first moment. When it works, it's the most reliable method. But the failure rate is high, and it requires a lot of practice to not just fall asleep normally. Most people just conk out somewhere around the geometric pattern stage.
The third one?
SSILD, senses-initiated lucid dreaming. This one's popular because it's gentler than WILD, but more structured than MILD. You cycle through your senses, sight, sound, touch, paying attention to each one for about 30 seconds, then repeat the cycle a few times. The idea is that you're calibrating your awareness without keeping yourself too aroused to sleep. It was developed by a community member, not an academic, and it spread because a lot of people found it more accessible.
A community-developed technique that actually works. That's rare. Most internet forums produce, I don't know, arguments about the best Star Wars movie, and maybe a questionable recipe for chili. They don't typically generate novel cognitive techniques that spread because they're effective.
The lucid dreaming community is unusually productive. There's a real engineering mindset. People treat their dream journals like log files. They track which techniques they used, how long they slept, whether they took supplements, what they ate, and they iterate. It's almost like an open-source research project. Someone tries a variation, reports back, someone else tweaks it, and over time the method improves.
Wait, people are taking substances for this? Or pass tea and ambient music?
Second, regular reality checks throughout the day. Things like trying to push your finger through your palm, checking whether text changes when you look away and back, or plugging your nose and trying to breathe through it. In a dream, you can breathe through a plugged nose. In waking life, obviously not.
The nose plug is the most reliable one, from what I've read. Text and clocks can be stable in dreams for some people, but the nose plug apparently never fails.
That's right. The mechanism is that your physical body is still breathing while you're dreaming, so the sensation of breath through a blocked nose carries into the dream. It's one of the few reality checks that has a physiological anchor. The third component is the MILD technique, mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. This is where you set an intention as you're falling asleep. You repeat something like, "I will realize I'm dreaming," while visualizing a recent dream and imagining yourself becoming lucid in it.
MILD was developed by Stephen LaBeige, right? He's basically the father of modern lucid dreaming research. That's like going from "I enjoy jogging" to "I have a dedicated altitude tent and a blood lactate monitor."
He trained himself to signal from within a lucid dream using prearranged eye movements, left, right, which they could measure with an EOG, electrooculogram. Before that, lucid dreaming was considered fringe. Scientists dismissed it as micro-awakenings or just regular dreams where you dreamed you were lucid. LaBerge's eye signals proved the dreamer was consciously aware and could perform volitional actions in real time during REM sleep. Cortisol elevation, impaired glucose metabolism, cognitive deficits. If you're doing this every night for months, you might be trading dream awareness for actual health.
What's the counter-argument from the community? They must have one. Nobody's disrupting their sleep for no reason.
That has implications for our understanding of consciousness that go way beyond dream hacking. Have reported significant reductions in nightmare frequency and distress after learning lucid dreaming techniques. There's a whole clinical literature on this. The Mannheim Group published a really useful breakdown. In their training study, this was a structured 6-week program, about 45% of participants had their first lucid dream within the first 2 weeks.
That's a much stronger case than "I want to fly around." That's a genuine quality of life intervention.
The number one predictor of success wasn't any particular technique. It was consistency of dream journaling. Even grief processing. People report having conversations with deceased loved ones in lucid dreams that feel healing.
The grief one is complicated. I can see how it could be healing, but I can also see how it could prevent someone from actually moving through loss. If you can conjure up your late grandmother every night and have a conversation, are you processing grief? Or are you building an avoidance mechanism?
Most people go from remembering 0 or 1 dream per week to remembering 2 or 3 per night within a month of consistent journaling. And if you're scripting conversations with that model every night, you might be reinforcing a relationship with a projection rather than accepting the loss. I haven't seen research on this specifically. It's more of a clinical intuition. But I could imagine it going either way, depending on the person and how they use it.
If you use it to say goodbye, that's one thing. If you use it to pretend they never left, that's another.
The tool is neutral. The application is what matters.
Let's go back to the core question. Is this learnable for most people? What's your actual answer, stripped of caveats?
I'd say it's learnable for most people who are willing to be systematic and patient, but not universally. The analogy I keep coming back to is learning a musical instrument. Almost anyone can learn to play something recognizable on a piano with enough practice. But not everyone will become a concert pianist, and a small percentage of people have genuine amusia. They literally can't process pitch. Lucid dreaming probably works similarly. Most people can get somewhere, but there's a spectrum of natural aptitude, and there's probably a small group for whom it's much harder.
The Reddit community. Are they honest about that spectrum, or is there a survivorship bias problem where the only voices you hear are the ones who succeeded?
Massive survivorship bias. The people posting success stories are the ones who succeeded. The people who tried for 8 months and got nothing usually don't write triumphant posts about it. They just quietly unsubscribe. So the visible community makes it look easier than it is. You see 100 posts that say, "Finally had my first lucid dream after 2 weeks." And you don't see the 1,000 people who tried for 6 months and got nothing because they didn't post.
You said before that the community is unusually productive and evidence-oriented. Those two things seem in tension. How can a community be rigorous about data while also having massive survivorship bias?
They are in tension. The culture has a weird duality. On one hand, there's genuine methodological rigor. People run self-experiments, track variables, share data. On the other hand, there's an almost mystical reverence for people who lucid dream frequently. They get treated like ascended masters. There's a status hierarchy based on how many lucid dreams you've had, how long they lasted, how much control you had. People will put their lucid count in their flare. It becomes a kind of score.
That's very human. Every community builds a hierarchy around whatever the valued skill is. If it weren't lucid dreaming frequency, it would be something else. Bench press numbers, chess rating, number of sourdough loaves successfully baked.
To be fair, the r/lucid dreaming community is notably less toxic than a lot of other self-improvement spaces. The mod team is active. Gatekeeping gets called out. There's a genuine culture of keep trying, here's what worked for me, rather than you're just not dedicated enough. It's more supportive than most comparable subreddits. You don't see the kind of sneering you get in, say, fitness forums.
What about the techniques that don't work? What's the stuff people swear by that's probably placebo?
Binaural beats are a big one. The idea is that listening to specific frequency differences between your ears entrains your brainwaves to a lucidity-friendly state. The evidence is thin. Most studies show little to no effect beyond placebo. But people are convinced. They'll have elaborate setups with headphones and specific frequency tracks they swear by.
The audio placebo industry is remarkably robust across multiple domains. Focus, relaxation, lucid dreaming. There's always a frequency for it.
It really is. Then there's the whole foods that cause lucid dreams thing. Cheese gets mentioned a lot. Apple juice before bed. The evidence for any of this is basically non-existent. What's probably happening is that eating something before bed disrupts your sleep enough to cause more awakenings, and more awakenings means more opportunities to attempt techniques. It's not the cheese, it's the fragmented sleep.
Which circles back to the health concern you raised. If the mechanism is sleep disruption, that's not a great long-term strategy. You're basically inducing poor sleep and calling the side effect a success.
And the community has a term for this, lucid dreaming burnout. People go too hard, disrupt their sleep for weeks or months, and eventually crash. Their dream recall actually gets worse because they're so exhausted. It's a classic overtraining pattern. You see the same thing in athletes. Push too hard, ignore recovery, and performance drops off a cliff.
I want to zoom out for a second. What does it actually feel like? Not the technique, the experience. When someone's in a lucid dream, what's the subjective reality of it? What are people describing?
The descriptions are remarkably consistent across cultures and time periods. The dominant sensation is a kind of hyper-real clarity. Colors are more vivid than waking life. Textures are more detailed. There's often a sense of euphoria, not drug-induced, but more like the exhilaration of discovering a new sense you didn't know you had. People say things like, it was more real than real, which is a fascinating thing to say about a hallucination.
The control aspect. Is it like being a god in a simulation, or is it messier than that? Because the popular image is that once you're lucid, you can do anything. Fly, summon people, reshape the world.
Full dream control is actually a separate skill from lucidity itself. You can know you're dreaming and still not be able to fly, or change the scene, or summon a person. The dream has its own momentum. Experienced lucid dreamers talk about negotiating with the dream rather than commanding it. If you try to force something too aggressively, the dream often destabilizes and you wake up. It's more like steering a boat than driving a car. You can influence the direction, but you're also working with currents you don't control.
Negotiating with your own subconscious. That's a fascinating framing. It's not a sandbox you control. It's more like an ecosystem you're visiting. You're a participant, not an omnipotent architect.
And the stabilization techniques are a whole subskill. When you first become lucid, the dream is often fragile. People describe spinning around, rubbing their hands together, touching surfaces, anything to anchor sensory input and prevent waking up. It's almost like you're convincing your brain to keep rendering the scene. If you just stand there and think, wow, I'm dreaming, you'll often wake up within seconds.
The brain is a GPU. That's about to crash if you don't give it enough sensory work to do. You need to keep feeding it textures to process.
If someone says, I realized I was dreaming because my childhood kitchen had the wrong color cabinets, and then I tried to fly but only managed to hover about 3 feet off the ground before waking up, that reads as authentic. During lucid dreaming, certain brain regions that are normally deactivated during REM show increased activity. the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, the parietal lobules. These are areas involved in working memory, attention, self-awareness. It's the same dynamic as UFO reports or paranormal experiences. Specificity of mundane detail is the currency of believability.
You're literally more awake inside your sleep, which raises a question. If lucid dreaming involves waking up parts of your brain, is the sleep you're getting less restorative? The known phenomenology being what, exactly?
Things like lucidity typically doesn't last more than a few minutes of dream time for beginners. Dream scenes are unstable. If you get too excited, you wake up. Controlling the dream is harder than just being aware you're dreaming. Beginners can usually manage lucidity or control, rarely both at first. When someone shows up claiming they had a 2-hour lucid dream on their first try where they built an entire civilization, the veterans gently suggest they might have had a vivid, non-lucid dream.
Gently suggest is doing a lot of work there. I've seen those threads. Some of those veterans are not gentle.
There's definitely some gatekeeping, but it's mostly functional. The community wants to maintain a baseline of shared reality about what's achievable because new people come in with wildly inflated expectations. If nobody pushes back, you get a cycle of disappointment where people try for 3 nights, don't become lucid dream wizards, declare the whole thing fake, and leave. If you ask them to picture an apple, they see a specific apple with color and texture, not a vague concept of appleness.
There might be a general internal experience intensity, trait that makes everything more vivid, waking or sleeping. Some people just have a higher resolution internal monitor.
It's actually prescribed for Alzheimer's, but the lucid dreaming community uses it off-label. The typical protocol is to take a small dose, 4 to 8 milligrams, after about 4 to 5 hours of sleep during a WBTB session. The research is limited but suggestive. A 2018 study in PLOS One found that galantamine combined with WBTB and MILD significantly increased lucid dream frequency compared to placebo.
Which brings us back to the anyone can learn claim. If the technique works best for people who already have the relevant cognitive traits, then the community's promise, follow this guide and you'll lucid dream, is overselling. It's like a basketball coach saying anyone can dunk when some people are 5'2".
I think it is overselling, but I also think most people in the community would acknowledge that if you push them. And the community is actually pretty responsible about this. The consensus on r/lucid dreaming is that supplements are an advanced tool, not a starting point. They tell beginners to stay away from galantamine until they've got at least several months of consistent practice and some natural lucid dreams under their belt.
Which is more responsible than a lot of biohacking communities, honestly.
It helps that the supplement is prescription only in most countries. You can't just grab it off Amazon. That creates a natural barrier. The dreamer signals with eye movements, and the researcher asks questions or gives instructions through audio cues. The dreamer can respond, do math problems, follow directions, all while demonstrably in REM sleep.
They're doing math inside dreams? Like, what's 7 plus 4? And they signal back 11?
WBTB significantly boosts success rates, but at the cost of sleep disruption. Some people seem to have a neurological predisposition that makes it easier, and a minority of people may not be able to achieve it with current techniques, particularly if they have very low baseline dream recall. This wasn't one lab with one exceptional subject. This was replicated across multiple sites with multiple dreamers.
It's anyone willing to treat this as a serious skill practice. That's essentially proving that the person in the dream is conscious in a way that can interact with the outside world.
The Oneironauts who've been doing it for years are impressive, but they're also a self-selected group of the most persistent people, not necessarily the most talented. If you can interact with someone while they're in a fully immersive hallucinatory state that they know isn't real, you can start asking really fundamental questions about how consciousness works.
Am I dreaming right now? Is a deeply strange question to ask yourself a dozen times a day. It changes your relationship to your own experience.
That's actually one of the things the community talks about a lot, that the practice bleeds into waking life in unexpected ways. People report becoming more mindful, more present, more aware of their own mental states. If they move their dream hand, do the motor cortex activation patterns match physical movement? Some of this has been studied, and the answer is yes. Dream actions activate the same brain regions as imagined or actual actions. But there's so much more to explore. You could investigate time perception in dreams. Does a minute in a dream feel like a minute in waking life? You could study the limits of dream control, what can and can't be changed. You could explore how the dreaming brain generates sensory experiences without sensory input.
This is starting to feel less like a quirky Reddit hobby, and more like a legitimate frontier of cognitive science that happens to have an enthusiastic amateur community attached. The Reddit folks are the early adopters, and the academics are doing the rigorous validation.
That's exactly what it is. The amateurs are doing the daily practice and technique refinement, and the academics are doing the controlled studies, and there's actually a fair amount of cross-pollination. Some of the technique guides on the subreddit are better than what you'd get from a casual Google search, and some of the researchers participate in the community. It's a rare example of a hobbyist community and a scientific field that actually talk to each other productively.
All right, practical question. If someone listening wants to try this, not obsessively, not with supplements, just a reasonable attempt, what's the evidence-based starting point? What's the minimum viable practice?
Dream journaling plus reality checks plus MILD. That's the minimum viable stack. Keep a journal by your bed, write down everything you remember the moment you wake up. That alone improves dream recall dramatically. You're signaling to your brain that dreams are important and worth remembering. Do reality checks during the day, not just mindlessly pushing your finger against your palm, but asking yourself, am I dreaming right now? And expecting the answer to possibly be yes. The key is the genuine expectation, not the rote motion. Then set an alarm for about 5 or 6 hours after you go to sleep, wake up, stay awake for maybe 15 minutes reviewing your dream journal, and do the MILD visualization while falling back asleep.
How long should someone try before deciding it's not working? What's the point where you say, maybe this isn't for me, rather than, I just need to try harder?
I'd say give it a month of consistent practice. Not perfect practice, nobody's perfect, but most nights. If you're seeing improvement in dream recall but no lucidity, keep going. Improved recall is a sign that something is shifting. If you're seeing nothing after a month, no improvement in recall, no lucidity, no sense of progress, it might be that you're one of the people for whom it's harder, and you should decide whether the time investment is worth it.
That's a much more measured take than anyone can do it. Just believe in yourself. It's try this for a month, see what happens, and if it doesn't work, that's okay.
The internet loves to sell the extreme version of everything. Lucid dreaming is real, it's learnable for many people, and the techniques have actual scientific backing. But it's also hard, it requires sleep discipline that most people don't have, and there's probably a biological lottery component that the community underplays. It's worth trying if you're curious. It's not worth beating yourself up over if it doesn't click.
The sloth perspective on all of this, and I feel I have some authority here, is that sleep is already doing something important. Dreaming, even non-lucid dreaming, is already a complex cognitive process we barely understand. Maybe there's something to be said for just letting it do its thing. Not everything needs to be optimized.
I knew you'd come back to napping as the answer, but you're not wrong. REM sleep serves functions we're still mapping. Memory consolidation, emotional processing, creative association. Disrupting that for the sake of conscious control might be a trade-off, not a pure upgrade. There's a reason the brain normally keeps the executive functions offline during dreaming. Evolution might have figured something out that we're messing with.
Although I will say, the idea of being able to nap and also be aware that I'm napping, that's peak efficiency. That might be the final form of my practice. Maximum rest with maximum awareness.
You'd just use it to dream about leaves.
I'd use it to dream about anteater-free environments. That's the real therapeutic application. Lucid dreaming as anteater avoidance strategy.
Now Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1980s, a group of New Zealand chemists proposed that the distinctive blue-green hue of certain glacial lakes on the South Island was caused not by rock flour alone, but by a specific suspension of finely ground mica particles that selectively scatter light in a way that makes the water appear to glow from within, a phenomenon they called glacial opalescence.
I'm going to pretend I understand what that means.
I think the lakes are just showing off. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find every episode at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.